Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Praise God. You're welcome to service today. Nice to see all of you. Amen. Kenneth, it's nice seeing you. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you know that the lady next to you is a senior doctor. She might give you a job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You're very welcome. Eh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week we talked about giving and receiving. Eh? I thought I was going to preach something like that today again. By the time before Arsenal won its game, amen. So after we won or during the winning, I got something else. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about this, and it is not very popular. Amen. And I'm a humble servant, amen. I ordinarily wouldn't want to be the one to talk about it, amen. Yeah, it is the dispensation in which we are in right now. They don't want to hear that. In fact, if you talk about it, you are a cult. Glory be to God. It's amazing how people are judged by what they believe, or not what they believe. Simply because someone doesn't believe what you believe does not mean that they are not what? Christians. They are Christians, but with different opinions, whether they are right or wrong. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But this, according to God, is a basic thing, This is a basic thing every one of us should know. Amen. At least according to Hebrews 6, it is basic. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, says that therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms. And of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. I hope you guys know what these things mean. One of the basics we're supposed to know, the moment you get born again, you should have an understanding of some basic principles, including this order is different from what I have here. Anyway, the laying on of hands. Okay, let's start from repentance from dead works. You all know that. Most people know that. Saved by grace, not by works. Amen. Most Kampala knows that. Glory be to God. Then baptisms. Amen. When you got born again, you automatically have been baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thereafter, you should be baptized in water by immersion. Glory be to God. Amen. You shouldn't take your children for someone to sprinkle water on them. Amen? And if they sprinkled water on you, ideally by now, you should know that that was rubbish. Glory be to God. Amen? During that ceremony, making children cry for nothing, some of you also participate as what? Godmothers and Godfathers. Now, that is also nonsense. Hallelujah. I know many of you have been God what? Mothers and Godfathers. But that is rubbish. Eh? Hallelujah. It's not there in the Bible. Glory be to God. Parents are supposed to take care of their children and raise them in the fear of the Lord. Not some drunkard who you bring to stand there as a child is crying and then you call them godfathers. Glory be to God. Are you being blessed? I'm helping you guys to stop. First of all, you waste money on that day. Now, some of you are not raising your heads, but that's okay. But I'm just helping you. I know that these things involve family pressure, those things. But you should grow up. You should stop living for your family. You should start living for God. You're 33, but your family is still, you're still a pawn in their hands. When are you ever going to live for yourself, at least for yourself? Let's first wait, Jesus. Living for Jesus, at least living for yourself. When? Glory be to God. You are a parent. Now you have a child. However, you're still being treated as a kid by some people. Amen? Please. Hallelujah. Anyway, glory be to God. So, when you get born again, you've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Then you should be baptized by immersion. Amen? Which is symbolic also, And then you should be baptized by the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the Spirit. Baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is what he's talking about. The doctrine of baptisms. It's not one baptism. Amen? There's also what is called the baptism of suffering. It's there. You read your scriptures. Amen? Hallelujah. We are, for example, the apostles, the disciples were happy that they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Amen? That's just one example. And the Bible says that all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer, shall be persecuted. It is part of the package. Glory be to God. But no one is talking about these things. So when people get challenges which are part of the package, they think it's strange. You understand? And there's really nothing wrong with you. Amen? It is just part of the what? Of the package. But that's not what I'm talking about. Amen? Suffering. Then of the resurrection from the dead. Amen? And of eternal judgment. Glory be to God. Eternal judgment. Hallelujah. We often talk about this here in church, especially from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. There is a judgment that is coming for non-believers. Amen. When all this is over, believers are going to be judged. Amen. And basically to show them evidence that they really denied the Lord and there is no other option. And they'll be going to hell. Amen. Now God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's why he wants us to tell people about Jesus and what he came to do for us. Amen. Jesse Duplantis went to heaven some time ago. He has a book, videos on YouTube. In that experience, one of the things he was told that Jesus' worst day hasn't yet come. I thought until 3 years ago, I thought his worst day was the suffering he went through at the cross, being forsaken by the Father. Amen. When he cried and said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Then he went down to hell for you and I, you know, I always thought that was the worst. But Jesus said to Jesse, Duplantis, that actually my worst day hasn't yet come. His worst day is going to be that day when people will be being sent to hell forever. You understand? That will be his worst day. Because he died for them. He died for us. You understand? Primarily for them not to go there so that they may be one with the Father. Amen? Now, his worst day will be when he's seeing them going to hell to burn for eternity. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you can help Jesus by talking to people about him. Amen? Maybe that will reduce the tears and the sorrow he will experience on that day. Maybe. I don't know. But you can find that just one person going to hell and billions going to hell, it causes him the same amount of what? Sorrow. Amen? But you can do your part. Hallelujah. Then, there is also the judgment of Christians, of believers, you and I. Amen? We are going to be what? You know that? And you're fine with that. If you're new here, maybe it's, but we know this. It says that therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, you know, to be well pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. It is just that. The Bible says we must. So there's no escape. But after that you'll be going to heaven. Amen. But this is for rewarding purposes. You understand? So don't get scared. Hallelujah. This judgment of Christians and the judgment of unbelievers, they'll be separate events. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you're not born again, you know, please accept the Lord today. After the service, come to me or to someone, and we shall lead you to the Master. Hallelujah. But if you're born again, this is going to be, you can't escape this. Amen. You will appear before the judgment seat of Christ that you may receive the things done in the body according to what you have done, whether good or... Hallelujah. Then, verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen? Now this is a bit I don't want to talk about. But I've been told to talk about it. Glory be to God. Knowing therefore the what? The terror of who? And this Lord is Jesus. The loving Jesus, the gracious Jesus, full of compassion, abounding in love. Amen? The Bible also says there is something called the terror of the Lord. Glory be to God. I don't know when was the last time you heard about the terror of the Lord. When was the last time you heard something like that? Or you've never? Right now in this Kampala, now you see how now, right now, amen? Right now, today, basically, in the next 7 days, I'm going to be labeled. Some people call me a coward, or they will say, Moses is off, he's a bit, you know. I'm telling, because people are going to hear this. But it is in the scriptures. Amen? And it is in the New Testament. Glory be to God. Amen? So you can see how, this is not interesting to talk about, because I can already feel you guys are getting uneasy. Hallelujah. Even me, I'm uneasy. But maybe Arsenal shouldn't have won. Probably the Lord would have told me to talk about whatever. But anyway, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is something called the terror of the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know this, eh? You guys have been... Okay, let me say it another way. Eh? Another way. Maybe this word is, you know. Okay, the Lord, like most of you know, He's not only a lamb, eh? But He's also a lion. Now that's better, eh? Now you're at home, eh? Now, how many of you have seen a lion laughing? How many of you have seen a lion smiling? You understand, eh? Maybe the cartoons you buy for your kids. Hi, amen? Smiling lion. Glory be to God. Now this is what it means by the terror of the Lord. When now it is known for playing, it is known for smiling. Glory be to God. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now this is essentially, you know, basically part of the judgment of the Lord. Amen? I hope all of you guys by now have read the book, The Final Quest. If you haven't read it, please read it. It is free on the net. Or we can send it to you if you tell us. This is well explained in that book. Amen? Hallelujah. When you appear before the Lord, amen, and then your actions are judged, but more than that, the motives for those actions. Believers, amen? Hallelujah. Actions and motives. Now, if you can just understand this, you will live a better life. You start taking things for granted, and you want to live right, to treat people well. You will try, by the grace of God. Amen? Because you know that this day is coming. Amen? But remember, there are rewards also. Please don't forget that. Amen? However, there will also be fire. Not hellfire, but that whole thing of having wasted people, wasted time, done things for evil motives. You understand? Glory be to God. I mean, you guys know English. The thing is there, the terror of the Lord. Amen? Even in verse 10 it says that we may receive the thing done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad. So we can not only look at the good, there's also the word bad there. You understand? I mean, we should start reading the Bible as it is. There is good, but there's also what? Bad. You understand? But you're going to heaven. You are in heaven, seated in the heavenly places. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You see now, this subject, by the way, it is very, this thing called the terror of the Lord. We all want Jesus the Lamb, the loving, but there's also Jesus the Lion. Amen? In that book, The Final Quest, Rick Joyner was told that the young, people who are young in the Lord, know Him just as a lamb. Amen? Now, I know pastors who should have progressed further from just that level. Never gone. And I can understand why they have jumped to move from that part. Because this is so wonderful, loving Jesus. There's even a song, Loving Jesus, love. Well, it's not the one. Anyway, the same like, you're my darling, whatever. You know. Now, so he was told the young Christians know him as a lamb. Amen. Very nice, very cool. You understand? You know? Then he says that those who are growing up, who are maturing, they know him as a lion. Amen? Then he said, but those who are mature know him both as a lion, and a lamb. Glory be to God. Amen? So if we talk about Jesus as a lamb, amen, he expects you one day to also know the lion side of him. You understand? Now, the lion side of him is that the terror of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, L.A.T. has turned into a cult. Because the Bible says, talks about the grace of God, the grace of God. I will never rebuke you again. Blah, blah, you know, and I know those scriptures. Amen? I know those things. I know these things. But we have to be honest with scripture. We have to be honest. Amen? We have to be honest. Amen? Glory. Now, this judgment for the evil, it is not for destruction. You understand? Actually, it is redemptive. Amen? Anyway, let me show you from the final quest why this topic is not pleasant to you right now, but why it should be. It is also not pleasant to me. Glory be to God. But I live my life with this knowing that there's something called the terror of the Lord. Hallelujah. If I didn't know it, you understand? This church should be 500 people by now. If I didn't know this thing called the terror of the Lord. Because I would have used evil, you understand, techniques. Honestly, but I know that a day is coming where we shall be judged for everything we have done. Motives now will be the most important thing. Motives. Hallelujah. So anyway, Rick Joyner, this is again in the final quest, that book. Elvis was telling me once that there's I wonder if I should call this guy a man of God. This guy that Elvis was telling me about more than a year ago. But this guy told Elvis that Rick Joyner is a cult. Now, of course, Elvis was like, man, this guy is weird. Now, I don't think that guy is a man of God, but he's a preacher, you know. But knowing what he loves talking about, amen, I think it is the final quest which messed him up. These things now, the terror of the Lord, the lion, I think he's always messing them, saying, no, that's not the grace of God. Rick Joyner is a coward. And he told Elvis, Elvis didn't want to tell me that some guy, because he knew how. If I tell Moses this, he would just throw out that guy out of his circle, Amen. But then somehow he had to tell me. Then you know what the other guy said, that Rick Joyner is a coward. But I think it is these things, Bambi, which messed him up. And I can understand, we know the gracious God, then now someone tells you funny stuff. Anyway, Rick Joyner says, as he approached a certain door, he could feel fear welling up inside him, but not nearly as bad as the first time. Anyway, in great contrast to others, this door, it was very dark around this door. This was in a vision. Then I had to get very close to read the truth over it. Mildly surprised, I read the judgment seat of Christ. Why is this truth so fearful? I asked aloud. Fearful, like now you guys are. Amen. Knowing that the angels would not answer me. As I looked at it, I knew that it was the one I should go through. There are many reasons that it is fearful. He was told, And then he was also told that he has chosen well. Then they told him that this door will take you back to the top of the mountain faster than any other. It is fearful because the greatest fear in creation has its source through that door. The holy fear of God. Then he was told that the greatest wisdom that men can know in this life or in the life to come is found through this door, or phone through these doors, but very few will go through them. Amen? The greatest wisdom you can ever have is when now you embrace what is behind that door. That door, you know, whose entrance is marked as what? The judgment seat of Christ. You guys are regretting why you came to church today. Anyway, so he asked, but why is this door so dark? You know, the light of these doors reflect the attention that the church is presently giving to the truth behind them. So the church is not giving any attention to this truth. Hebrews 6. Elementary principles. I mean, that's why the door is dark. But God doesn't want it to be dark. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? The truth behind that door is one of the most neglected of these times. But it is one of the most important. You will understand when you enter. The greatest authority that men can receive will only be entrusted to those like me who go through this door. Probably that's why I'm going to do 10 times what Kenneth Hagin did, as I was told in a dream. Amen. Anyway, just ignore that. Amen. But the greatest authority that men can receive will only be entrusted to those who go through this door. When you see Jesus sitting on this throne, you too will be prepared to sit with him on it. Then this door will not be so dark and forbidding if we are just given more attention to this truth. That is correct, if men knew the glory that is revealed behind that door. Amen? So there is a glory in this subject of what? The fear of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Where are we? If men knew the glory that is revealed behind that door, it would be one of the most brilliant, the angel lamented. However, it is still a difficult door to pass through. In honesty, it is the what? That's why all of you guys are in the state you're in right now. Hallelujah. It is a difficult door to pass through. Amen. I was told to return and encourage you because you will soon need it. You will see a greater glory, but also a greater terror than you have ever known. But know that because you have chosen the difficult way now, it will be much easier for you later. Because you're willing to face this hard truth now, you will not suffer loss later. Many love to know his kindness, but few, very few, are willing to know his terror. That's another word, which means exactly that. If you do not know both, the kindness and the terror, amen, you will always be in danger of deception. Amen? Like most preachers in Kampala right now. They are in deception. Glory be to God. You'll be in danger of deception and a fall from his great grace. Amen? The grace which they have taken to extremes, which is not supposed to be. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Most of you have read the final quest, isn't it? Do you remember reading this? Or you flew over it? Hallelujah. Anyway, so he went through that door. Amen. And it was basically now, you know, walking towards the throne of God. Amen. And then there were people there in that hall. And everyone would come and tell him their experiences. There were great preachers, you know, who had died and gone on, you know, to heaven. And then he found them. They were far from the throne, man. You know, and then they told Joyner their experiences. Why? They are like nobodies in heaven. On earth, they were highly esteemed. We celebrated. To this day, amen, we who read their histories, we celebrate them. But the reality in heaven is different. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, so they were telling him, they were like, man, things are, you know, they told him when they got in that things were bad. But now they're like, yeah, wasted that time, but it's good enough to just be here. Amen. But they were, you know, they regretted what they had done, the motives of their heart, which had directed them while on earth. Hallelujah. Then there are those people, you know, nobody is on what? On earth, who apparently were close to the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, one of the things why they were close to the Lord is they did what the Lord told them to do. The little that they were told, they did it. And they did it with pure motives. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You do what the Lord told you to do, and whatever you do for him, pure motives. Amen? I was told last year, you know, that if you want to be great in heaven, I was told, me, I don't know what for you, you'll be told or you are told. For me, I was told that Moses, if you want to be great in heaven, master that book, The Final Quest, and live by it. Hallelujah. I'm saying this book will put your life in order. You understand? Then you always first ask your heart, why am I doing this? Then you will go slow. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is watching these things. He's not only watching, but he's also recording. Glory be to God. There's something I found once on the net, which I read in church here more than a year ago, of a preacher's man who died, went to be with the Lord. Then they got small mansions. Some just got even apartments. As in big time names, you know, like an apartment. Then they were complaining that, man, I was great. I did all these things, you know. How can you give me this? You know, then they were told, you come. Took them to a place where they were, like, computers, records, you know, for everything they did, there was also motive, action, motive. Amen? So they showed one guy, you did a crusade, blah, blah, blah. Even the debts are there, everything is there. You know, a crusade, blah, blah, blah. Then motive. Man, things were bad. You know, then pastors of large churches, my guys were shocked, things were bad. In fact, for one of them, the Holy Spirit apparently even left the laptop in his apartment. That in case you have any more questions, you can always what? No, those things, we are laughing here, but those things are not funny. Glory be to God. Now God wants you, he doesn't want you to experience that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? Amen? You're being blessed? Yes. You're being blessed because I'm talking about some other guys who got fire. But that fire is awaiting you if you don't style up also. Amen? Yes. Amen? There's something called the judgment of the Lord. That judgment day is coming. Hallelujah. Sometime last year, I think it was Paul. Paul had a dream when the Lord was saying that very few in this generation are representing me, Jesus, as a lion. You know, he said that Moses is among the few in this generation who is representing me like that. Then the Lord was saying that I wish there were more. Amen. There are many who are representing him as a lamb. Now it is not, in fact for some now it is no longer a lamb. It is some other animal. Or a chick, I don't know. Now it is not even a lamb anymore. The extreme, they have taken this thing, man. And now those are the authentic preachers. Now those even who are attempting to represent him as a lamb, they are cowards. Now guys have degraded the Lord to a chick. chicks, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so the Lord was saying, you know, now I'm, but they have great honors. By the way, I don't, for me, anyway, you know, I have great honors in heaven. Eh? One of those things where the Lord was saying he wishes they were more like Pastor Moses. You know, it was this. Talking about the judgment of the Lord. Eh? Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, it says, this is Paul writing, it says that according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. Then he said, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then he says, verse 12, that now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? By terror. Hallelujah. That day, our works will be revealed. Eh? Amen? And he says that, and the fire will test each one's work. Of what sort it is. Verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on the foundation of Christ, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But himself will be saved. Yet as through fire. Glory be to God. Isn't this good news? But people don't call this the gospel. Amen? But it's part of the gospel. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants you, let your works be works of gold. Not hay and straw, which are going to be what? Burned. But as they are burned, you will also feel, that whole thing of, anyway, you read the final question. If you don't want to read it, tell God to take you through that experience. Now, the reason why Rick Joyner went through this experience, by the way, he also felt the fire, because when he was taken up there, even him, he realized, man, the things they had done, persecuted other preachers, you understand, even him, man, things were bad. Amen? But the reason why he was taken there and he had this experience was because he had been praying a prayer, which I also pray, but I think I haven't been praying it seriously. Yeah? Maybe I should pray. He had been praying to the Lord and saying that, God, judge me severely and correct me ruthlessly that I may serve you better. You understand? Eh? He was praying, judge me severely. Usually, I attempt to pray it, but I pray it like 3 days a week, then I forget. You understand? But I usually, judge me, Rick Joyner, judge me severely. Eh? Can you pray those things? Correct me ruthlessly that I may serve you better. Glory be to God. In fact, I even know how I crammed it, because judge is like, the J is like an S. So judge, severely. I crammed it in my own way. That thing. Judge me severely, correct me ruthlessly. Because when you encounter the judgment of the Lord, after that, you'll be very careful with what you do and how you do it. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that day is coming. However, that will be the fullness of it, or the judgment. Now, the truth of the matter is, just like there is the testing of the powers of the age to come, The truth of the matter is, even this judgment, there is a test of it when we are still here. You understand? And it's there in the scriptures. But for some reason, people are just, they blind themselves to those, what? You know, the scripture, it's there. There is a test, you know, of the terror to come. You understand? And if you test it now, ideally, God's intention is that's what it might help you, to make sure that you don't what? You avoid the real coming one. Do you understand? Now, I can tell you for the truth, I've tested that stuff. I know, that's why. Now, the first time I experienced it, it wasn't really suffering and what all things happened. You know, it was just now sensing the anger of God. Now, that was 2004. Now, you guys don't know me, but 2004, I was at the peak of my grace gospel. 2004, you guys think that what you're hearing, what it has just started. Some of the extremes these guys have gone. I led also some of trouble with my extreme thing, the grace gospel. And during that time, you guys, I know this talk, I know I've preached, but thank God that time, I wasn't like a preacher with a crowd. So I misled a few. In fact, I even got guys a book. I circulated it on the net. How tithing is not of God. I'm telling you, because the grace of God, New Testament, blah, blah, blah. You haven't seen extremes. You just pray to God that He can take me back a little bit. Then I tell you what I used to tell people. Hallelujah. Anyway, 2004, I'm at this thing, grace, the love of God, blah, 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 you know. Now, then God told me something I was supposed to do. Now, this something, every time I would attempt to walk in that path, to see the promise, like what? Fulfilled. It involved emotional turmoil. You understand? And after like two attempts, I remember telling God, man, get me out of here. Just, you know, take this promise to someone else. Sibia Gala. You know, I'm tired. You know, Man, I remember I was at home, you know, lying on a chair, you know, with emotional, you know, where you're like, God, I don't want this anymore. I don't want. Man, now you guys, every Tuesday you experience the presence of God. Awesome presence. Now what I experienced that day, in the chair lying down was not awesome presence. The anger of God. Now, prior to that, I was so convinced that God never gets angry. Because of that verse, He'll never get angry at you again. You know? Isaiah, you know, I'll never rebuke again. Now, last thing, you have to take them in context. Because there are other scriptures which also talk about the anger of the Lord. And so, that's what I experienced. God was angry at me for wanting to jump out of something He was telling me to do. Man, that's when now I had to get back to being honest with scripture. Amen? You know, But these things are real, And you yourselves, you have experienced it, but you think it's a devil. You know, you think it's a devil trying to mess you up. Yet actually, it is the testing of the what? Or the powers of the age to come. I'm telling you, I can give you an example. I've gone through these things, You know these things, Just be honest with scriptures, And put, you know, get to know Him as a lamb and as a lion, His goodness and His what? Severity, you know, And it will help you, Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31 and 32, it says, judge yourself. No, it says, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Vanessa, are you listening to me? Then it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened. by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So it is a good thing. It is not to destroy you, to make you suffer. No. It is chastising. Just like a parent chastises their what? Their child. It is part of the process. You know, eh? Amen? 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 Amen. I remember there's a guy, he lived a long time ago, an evangelist, one of the healing evangelists, a ghost general, but in heaven I don't think he's a general, but here on earth, he was great, healing, you've heard of him, called Jack Cole. Amen? Read Robert Ladon's book, Ghost Generals, the first volume. By the way, some of you don't want to read those books. But do you know why Rick Jr., rather Ladon, wrote those books? When he was 12 years old, some of you don't know this story, but when he was 12 years, he was at home watching TV. Then Jesus walked into the room, told him, Jesus gave him an assignment, told him that I want you to study the lives of my great men and women of God who have gone on to be, He told them, study them. They say, know them like you know the back of your hand. Then he said, and then teach, the coming generation. Teach them, how to like succeed the way some succeeded and how to avoid the failures that some got into. You understand? Those books are not just for, it is for teaching. That's why we have like the Bible. We read Samson. It is just to teach, to realize, hey, Samson fell, so I should avoid these things. Hallelujah. The guy was given a commission by God. Jesus walked into his room. He said, study a 12-year-old kid. 12 years, usually you're like in P7 or P6. Now we have campus students. What their mandate is dancing in churches. A P6 kid is now doing research about ghost generals, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, you understand, Catherine Coleman. Now we have university students. University students, what? Their mandate is to dance in church. Maybe it's their mandate, I don't know, but it's really, honestly. Hallelujah. Glory be to any so, Any Jacko. So he's one of the guys he wrote about. Now Jacko had issues, three issues which the Lord wanted to address. Great healing evangelist. Amen. Then the Lord sent someone, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, to tell Jacko. He told him to judge himself in three areas. To do what? Judge. And of course, if you don't judge yourself, God will judge you. There reaches that point in time where God has to come in. Now, I know, by the way, in my circles, people who have experienced this, I'll tell you. Now, Jacob, God told him to judge himself in three areas. Number one, his love for the brethren. Jacob was competing with every preacher. He wanted to be the greatest preacher. You understand? Those days, they used to hold like whatever in camps. Tents rather. Like Hilton tents. So Jacob wanted to have the largest tent. So he went, Jacob went and measured Oral Roberts' tent. Then he decided to order for a bigger one. So that he might be known as the preacher who has the largest tent. And he did some other manyanga against his fellow brethren. So God told him, judge yourself in that area. As in stop. Repent and stop. Then told him, number two, it was about money. Dimes. Glory be to God. What? Dimes. Not to judge. He was also a shady guy in that area. Amen. And number three was what? Food. Who has said eating? Was it you? Yeah, okay. No, just impressed that Someone knows that. Anyway, so, food. Kenneth Hagin said, he wrote in his book, about a preacher who was obviously Jack Cole. Kenneth Hagin said that there was a preacher who said that this preacher was as big, no, he used to eat like a horse. And he was as big as a cow. You know, as in, anyway, but of course you could tell who was strange, eh? But Jack had already died, eh? You know. Anyway, that, you know, food, the guy, you know, he died, I think, at 38. 38. Great Jack Cole, healing evangelist. You guys haven't seen miracles yet, healing miracles. Jack Cole was demonstrating that. To go to judge yourself in that thing, the love of the brethren, money, and eating. Now you are, that means we're also going to be judged how we eat. Because gluttony is a sin, you know that. Anyway, so Jacko didn't, and his life was cut short. 38. You understand, Before he passed away, people say that the guy's body, you could think he was an 80-year-old. The guy was 38. You know, food messed him up. But he was told to judge himself, and he didn't judge himself. Then God stepped in and phew. The guy died, man. Amen? So it says, judge yourself. Yes? It says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Then he said, but if we are judged, it is not for evil. It is God is just chastising us. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? Glory be to God. You see, you get happy when I'm talking about some guy who's in heaven who met fire, Jack Cole, this time. But God wants it, bring it to your level, You understand, Amen? The things we are involved into, we're doing, and God has been warning us, please stop, You know, there is a guy, I don't know what's wrong with people. There's a guy who right now, or some time ago, was judged by the Lord for shady things he was doing. And I had a dream some time ago, and the guy is blaming his misery on me. I mean, strange. Yet it is just the judgment of the Lord. There comes a day. There comes a day when, man, if we don't, yeah, we are, you know, Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2-4, it says that moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Then verse 3, Paul says that, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. Then he said that, in fact, I do not even judge myself. Kind like a contradiction, He says, judge yourself. Now for him, he says, for him, he doesn't, judge himself, Then he says, verse 4, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. In the final quest, Rick Joyner wrote, he was told, that the wise, wise people judge themselves lest they be judged. That is scripture, which we just read. Then he was also told that, but the wiser, the wiser realize that actually they cannot even judge themselves. Now, this is where Paul, that I can't even judge myself. Because we're seeing that, he said, but in that book as well, but the wiser, even can, they because they're like, man, will I really be able to see, So they ask the Lord to judge them. That's why Rick Joyner was praying that judge me severely, correct me ruthlessly, that I may serve you better. Glory be to God. Is this a great Sunday? If you are a visitor, you're like, I came on the wrong day. Guys are talking about judgment. The Lord is going to judge, blah, blah, blah. Hallelujah. There is a, this thing is so real, this judgment thing. There is a guy, some of you know him, some of you. But I wish you don't get to know that I'm talking about him. Because you're going to leave here and say, Moses said so and so. I'm not going to mention names. So, amen. If you say what I didn't say, God will judge you. You're scared. Anyway, this guy, he was my friend. Well, not a friend, acquaintance. He wasn't my friend, really. Acquaintance. This guy, man, he got born again, even before he got born. He got married, you know. Then, and now I remember, there were some men of God who were helping him, you know, to grow up, you know, to giving him advice how to do the business. Which was good, of course, to be helped, you know. But this guy, man, the things he began to do with money, you understand? The guy began women, girls, every time you would see him smiling at a girl. Man, me now who knew him, you understand? Of course, I didn't want to get involved to find out what happened thereafter, but because now you don't want to also like your mind to be, you know, but some, and anyway, later you would hear a story that, by the, Now, I used to look at this guy, you know, somehow, I was able to speak in his life, you know, but for some reason, he didn't think I deserved whatever, you know, but you just see, it is a matter of time before God steps in this. There's a man of God who he was friends with. Someone asked him that if God was to do this to this guy, what would you do? Like, oh no, no, not God. But he said that if things were like to become bad, you know, like, you know, business, you know, whatever, they get bad, you know, what would you do? Then this guy said he would engage like the spirit, and then he goes to the throne of God and bails out this chap, you know, because this guy has been to heaven and stuff. So it's like, for this guy, I would, you know, I had those stories. I was like, there are some things, you understand, where even a man of God can't what, where now it is between you and God. But then you guys, you should get to know some of these things, and you are anyway, you grow up one day. So, now one day, I remember, you know, for me, I was like, but this can't go on. Look what this guy is doing. You know, Then one day, I even had a dream. I think in this dream, I think we were like at KPC North or something. It was just a dream, but the place was north, you know. So I saw this guy. Like he was in front of the church, you know, about like messing up the children of God, stepping them or something like that. And now, I was looking at some men of God. I was like, can these men of God see what the guy is doing? Can they do something about it? I was perturbed. I was like, can they see this? They're letting the guy, you know, cause havoc, messing up the children of God. Then somehow I raised the thing. Then people are like, you know, then the guy, you know, he saw that things had become bad. Guys were going to come for him. So he began like so. Then when you try to chase him, the guy took, you know, and he had sneaks, you know, he bolted basically. Amen. Anyway, to cut a long story short. One day, now you see this now was a judgment. God was like, I have to stop this. I can't allow this to continue. My children being raped, you understand? man, things went bad. The guy collapsed totally. You understand? Now, I guess the other guy was saying that he can engage and go to heaven. Now it's yours. You could see it was a judgment of the Lord. Now, that judgment was supposed, it was meant to put the guy back on track, to style up. It wasn't meant to destroy him. Understand that judgment is not, you know, it's not that. It's actually, like we read, the chastising of the Lord. You understand? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You understand? Now, I know people began praying. People began to try and help him, get a word for him. But you could now see that this thing right now, where it had reached, it was between this guy and God. I'm telling you, it wasn't even the devil. It wasn't the devil. Things to do with the devil are easy. You just bind the devil. You understand? But when now it is God, those are difficult. And sometimes we don't know how to discern when it is God at work. It is not the devil, man. It is God at work. The Father at work with his child, chastising. Now, you can't rebuke God to stop. That stop chastising. You understand? I'm telling you, you can't. So you always think it's a devil, blah, blah, blah. When it is God, you don't know what this guy has been doing. And for quite some time, God has been warning him, please stop, stop. Don't do that. You're messing up my other kids. You're not the only kid in the house. You understand? Sometimes we want to behave like that. We think we're the only kids, so we are messing up all the children of God. They're doing shady things. We're not the only kids. These are kids that are crying out to God. Say, man, God, you know, this guy, you know, this chick. You know, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can see why this thing is not easy to talk about. This thing, because when was the last time you had these things? Anyway, glory be to God. Rick Joyner, not Rick Joyner, Kenneth Hagin, in the book called I Believe in Visions. Now, there's a PDF copy on the net, but it didn't have this story. I was shocked. In the night I looked for it, it doesn't have it. I don't know what happened. Either guys removed it. A very key experience. It's not there. Last man, I spent an hour in the night, like as I prayed in the Holy Ghost, looking for that thing. It's not there. I searched the net. It's not there. They removed it. I don't know. Some shady guys. But anyway, in this experience, Kenneth Hagin one time had, he got an accident. Was involved in an accident. Then either whatever his arm, got like issues. So anyway, he's walking to hospital. Then as he's walking, Jesus appears. Jesus comes. Then they what? Not humble now, you know. Then he tells him that, you know, when you get to hospital, I'll come back and we shall talk more about this issue. He told him, when you get there, but he told him, but your arm basically is not as bad as you think. But in hospital, we shall talk more. So then he gets to hospital, they check him out, they say, yeah, it's not, you know. Then one time he's lying on his bed, then he sees someone walking towards him in a white gown. So he thought it was a nurse. When he looked closer, it was the Lord. Because the Lord keeps his promises. And so, he comes and says, yeah, just like I told you, you know, we need to talk about this. Told him why he got in an accident. You know why? You don't know why? Which books are you guys reading? Which books are you guys reading? Really? Hallelujah. Anyway, he tells him that this has happened because, he tells him that I called you as a prophet and a teacher. But he tells him that you've been switching the order of these things. Calling yourself first a teacher, then a prophet. And then he told him that, and I've been warning you to stop it. You see, judgment just doesn't boom. Yeah? There are this prayer, you know, telling you to style up. So, but I've been warning, but you refuse. Listen, when you read the Bible, every time you say prophet and teacher, prophet comes first. And I expect you to keep that order. So he says, because I've been warning you and you, you open the door for the devil to hit you. Now, like a simple thing like that, you think it's simple, but it was. So anyway, so now that was the accident that happened. Then he tells him that, Jesus says that I allowed it to happen. Now, I remember years ago, I think it was 2006, I showed that story to my fellow grace preacher. As a man, Jesus allowed. The guy said, I don't believe that. Fellow grace preacher. For me, I had begun to style up to come back to the middle of the road, man. You understand? The other guy said, I don't believe that. Maybe that's why the thugs removed that chapter on the net, man. And most of you, I think, have the copy of that book. That story is not there. I didn't know that it wasn't there. I know even a popular TV guy, evangelist, one of the key prominent grace preachers. Most of you love him. Even him, he doesn't believe that story. But he loved Kenneth Hagin so much. In fact, he has a Bible which Hagin autographed. But when it comes to that thing, Jesus said, I allowed it to happen. But he said, I allowed it to happen so that I can get your attention. In fact, he said something like, well, you should thank me for having allowed it to happen. Then he said, because if it hadn't happened, you are going to die, was it 56? Kenneth Hagin lived to be 87, I guess. But his life was gonna die at 56. Just because of this car thing, prophet teacher thing. And God had warned him to put it in order. So his life was gonna be cut by over 30 years. 30 years. But Jesus said, I allowed that accident to happen so that I can get your attention. Then he says, in fact, you should thank me for having allowed it to happen. Because if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have caught your attention. Therefore, you are going to die before your time. Amen? You see, when God tells you something, you had better be careful. Because for me, I know these things. The judgment, the severity of the Lord. I tread carefully. I do mistakes. I do them. Hallelujah. But right now, I don't think there's anything I'm doing that deserves the terror of the Lord. It's not there. But again, I think I should what? Pray to the Lord to judge me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God, Jesus is loving. He's loving. In fact, his judgments are love. You understand? They are love for you. Because they want you to get destroyed. Because if it goes too far, you're going to destroy yourself. And usually you're also messing up his other kids. So he has to, you understand, to come in and what? Correct things. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I a cult? You're saying that because you're here, but what? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, as we conclude, it says that you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You see, whom the Lord loves, he does what? You're fearing to pronounce that word. It's simple. It is a simple word. You know, uskadi really means that. You know, he's loving. That's why you what? You understand?
Someone needs to preach this thing. Again, the Lord says, I am among the few who represent him as a lion. But then he says, he wishes there were more. You guys, you should join me in telling people the Lord is there. But before you do that, you first know him as a lamb. That's when you'll be able to talk to him as a, because if you don't know now the lamb beat, you're going mad to also take the judgment thing to the extreme. Hallelujah. So, yeah, verse 7, it says, if you endure chastening, God is with your sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten, discipline? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. The KJV, do you know what word it uses there? Sarah knows it. You know, it uses, it says that if you are not what? Anyway, it says that, but if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. That's what KJV says. Amen. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Then he says the truth. He says that now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There were guys who never used to judge to eat the body of Christ. Holy Communion, right? The Bible says they were not judging, rightly discerning the Lord's body. Amen. And the Bible says for that reason, many of them were weak, others were sick, some others had even died. It is here, 1 Corinthians 11. They were eating that bread, but they were not discerning that it is about the body of Christ, working in love with your other members of the body. But they're eating, but they're not, they don't know what they're doing is symbolizing. It's all about the body, We are one body, should work in love. So the one thing that the Bible said, because of that, many were weak, others were sick, and others had already died. That's when it comes down and say that judge yourselves, lest you be judged. 1 Corinthians 11, it's there for you. Hallelujah. No, I don't know why the Lord had me to preach this. I really don't know. Amen. But God is not just, isn't it? So there must be a reason. So I guess he wants us to judge ourselves. Look, there are things you're doing, which the Lord has been warning you. Stop doing this. Amen? And the Lord, he wants you to stop. He wants to bless you, but probably these things are a hindrance. Amen? And if you continue to do them, they're just going to mess you up. Amen? If they're not messing you up, you're messing up other people. Amen. And he doesn't want you to experience his terror. So he's saying, judge yourself. Amen. Repent. Stop doing those things. Hallelujah. Then you experience more of the lamb that he is, and the benefits that follow. Glory be to God. Amen. However, if you can't judge yourself, tell him to judge you. But be slow on that one, because it is not, when the Lord comes, to judge, it is not funny. You had better first do it yourself. Only when you think there's really nothing, can you say like Paul, that God, judge me. Or pray like Rick Joyner, judge me severely, correct me ruthlessly, that I may serve you better. Hallelujah.
Forever.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.